GKW. Welcome to another edition of Good Karma Wrestling. I'm Ian Knightson from ESPN Milwaukee, along with Brian Rowitz from ESPN West Palm, ESPN Chicago's Jonathan Hood as well, of course. Always catch Jay Hood, Sirius XM Pro Wrestling Nation, Sunday mornings from 9 a.m. until noon Eastern, which... We were all together this past weekend. Again, check out all the great content that we had around the Royal Rumble from Potawatomi Casino Hotel. Check it out on our YouTube page, youtube.com/@goodkarmawrestling. And I had joked on Saturday night after we were all leaving, okay, who wants to watch Collision? And Jay Hood had to raise his hand. Well, yep, I got to watch it. I got to do Wrestling Nation tomorrow morning. Everybody at Potawatomi Casino Hotel. Just an unbelievable event, start to finish. Kevin Nash, we're going to replay that for you coming up here in a little bit as well on today's show. But I cannot imagine, especially for Potawatomi, this is the first time they've done a wrestling event like this. I can't imagine an event going any better than it did on Saturday.
Yeah, we've had a lot of events in our careers, but this was great. We are so appreciative of the hospitality from Potawatomi Hotel and Casino. Kevin Nash being there on a part of the watch-along as well. It was our first watch-along on Good Karma Wrestling, and it's always great because we got a lot of great feedback from you saying that it's great that all three of us are together and not in Milwaukee, Chicago, West Palm. We're actually together as wrestling friends and as colleagues watching it. So it's one of my favorite events as far as being in this company, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, plenty of TVs to watch it all. The audio was great. The food was good. Like, it literally was a home run. And the first event, literally you walk in, no one would have known, like, oh, they've obviously been doing this for a while. That was number one and a hell of a success.
But a very close second is the Knightsville party the night before.
Of course.
The Dave Knightsville birthday party, that's what lit the candle, you see.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Because when in Milwaukee, you could never walk around without a beer in your hand.
Right.
It's a must. You got to have a cold one in your hand the entire time. So I just pretty much walked around Milwaukee with a Miller High Life IV in my arm the entire time.
Yep.
So that's why it was a great event. That Potawatomi is great, but the Knightsville party, that's what started it off. Outstanding.
Yeah, you gotta, if you're going to welcome people into town, you got to welcome them right, Jay Hood. That's what you have to do. Again, check out all the content we had around it. Subscribe on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/@goodkarmawrestling. But that's where we start. The last event that we were live for doing the live watch along was the Men's Royal Rumble. We saw Roman Reigns claim his second Royal Rumble championship. And now we know he is going to be challenging CM Punk at WrestleMania 42 in Las Vegas. What WrestleMania main event, as we are now on the road to WrestleMania, are you most into?
Well, it's the most recent one because we just saw a couple of things with Drew, you know, with CM Punk and with Roman Reigns. One thing for sure, they made sure to let you know that SmackDown's a secondary brand and that Drew McIntyre's championship does not matter. I was always told that the Undisputed Championship was the cat's meow, the top thing in WWE. Apparently not based on that promo battle between the two. But I just love here in February, both guys going at it. Where Roman Reigns won, by the way. CM Punk's got to get his lick back. But Roman Reigns, what he said, calling him Phil, talking down to him, talking about his podcast with Colt Cabana. I mean, to me, now that's a must-watch. It seems personal to me now.
Yeah, I mean, and to the point about the titles, like, I don't know if it's just limiting Roman dates, like, not even teasing it for a week. We're like, well, let me go to Friday and talk to Drew, and then we'll decide. Flat out saying, like, yeah, Friday doesn't matter. Drew doesn't matter. Like, I'm picking you. I agree with you. When we were together Saturday, I was disappointed in seeing Roman win because I just don't want him near the main event scene anymore. If they're going to blur the lines like this and it's going to be real and there's going to be personal stuff, I'm a lot more invested. I don't know if it'll deliver in the ring. It'll be fine in the ring. But I think storyline-wise, they'll do a good job of getting us invested over the next 2 months.
Well, and this kind of closes the loop almost, right? Because, I mean, he brings up, you know, CM Punk brings up in the promo that he brought in the Shield. And we've seen CM Punk versus Seth Rollins. Over in AEW, we got to see CM Punk versus Jon Moxley. And now this closes it in... especially when Punk came back in Chicago, the one that they were pushing the most who had the personal issues was Seth Rollins, right? Like, oh, Seth in the way Seth reacted, all those things they built up. Like, Roman was kind of quiet. He was doing his own thing. And in fact, in the last couple of War Games, they've teamed up together. Right. As I didn't even realize that they called each other the Z-Bros, right? After
that's Zootopia 2.
Correct.
Yes,
they were
a
like
big
the
role for those two.
Yeah, they were the zebra cops in Zootopia 2. Zebros. I didn't even catch that when it happened after the last war game. So again, it seemed like there was some sort of little bit of truce, and yeah, we got the triple threat at last year's Mania, but it felt more like Roman and Punk hated Seth more than anything else, right? So for Roman to come out and make it as personal as he did, sign me up, man. Like that was one of the best promo battles that I've seen in WWE in years. Like, yeah. I can't even come up with, because it wasn't just a singular promo. It was, and yeah, Roman won it, Hood. I agree. Punk got a couple of little jabs in there as well, which again made the whole thing. It was a great main event. Like, rarely do you see the promo battle main event WWE anymore, and that one was 100% worth it. Like, from starting from disregarding Roman, addressing the camera so we can talk in Balor, and then they go back and forth. And I thought it was weird that they decided to talk down SmackDown as much as they did, you know, seeing as how it's all the same brand, but it worked the promo.
Well, like I said, for years they've made us think that the Undisputed Championship is greater than the World Heavyweight Championship. I think I actually said on the show, I'm like, wait a minute. The World Heavyweight Championship's always been the centerpiece of the company. But they told us that the Undisputed Championship is the thing. And now, I think of nothing else between now and WrestleMania. Drew's got something to say, because now we get the Raw versus SmackDown thing again going. Now Drew's going to say, you think I'm secondary? I prayed for this. You think I'm secondary? I'm the world champion. I'm the must-see guy. So Cody against McIntyre, if that's going to be the main event, I look forward to that. But at the same time, SmackDown's got to be able to respond. They can't just lay down and let this happen. This has been a perception forever that SmackDown is way secondary to the Raw. So Drew and Cody have to speak up on their behalf on their show.
Yeah, but them just going at Raw doesn't do anything to get that match, you know, have more meaning or be more invested in it. We've talked about it. We've seen it run back a lot over these last few years. Adding Fatu is a different element, but like, I don't know why I should care about that main event right now. In terms of Drew and Cody, even if Fatu is in it.
Yeah, I guess, I was hoping that it wouldn't be Drew and Cody, but it does seem like that's the path we're going to be on. I'm guessing that'll be a little more clear because you can solidify that pretty. I don't know what they're going to do for Elimination Chamber. Maybe they try to draw that one out, since we already know over on the Raw side we have that main event. And that's, by the way, the reason why I'm more into Punk and Roman is because that's closing out the show.
Yeah,
like, they're not going to have, they're not having anything that is going to be better than Punk Roman. That's night two closing it out.
Punk will finally get his Mania main event, even though some people say night one doesn't count, him being those people, that it does count. He's already had a Mania main event, but this will be his real Mania main event.
Absolutely. And I'm looking forward to it. I know that the three of us has talked about the youth movement in WWE, that you need to have more youth. But I would say that these two veterans are going to make it very, very entertaining. I think the key to that promo, guys, is the word hate. You know, that was a banned word under Vince for a long time. You can't say that you hate your opponents. And so when you have Roman Reigns leaning in saying, hey, Phil, I hate you and I've always hated you. Holy smokes. That just made the whole promo and the whole battle different. When you say hate and then you explain the reason why you hate somebody, man, that is strong. It's really strong. And they laid it out. My question is, can they be able to top what they did on Monday Night Raw? It's a long road to WrestleMania. Usually you get something that hot in March, but you got it in February. What else can we get from Phil or from Joe? Hopefully we get a Joe reference from
Oh, you know, you're from going to.
Him. Yeah, call him Joe. Yeah.
I think you're going to. And again, I love the whole thing of Punk calling him out. Hey, you followed in my footsteps. Got Paul Heyman, had a long championship run, all those things. Because it came out of nowhere because I was unaware of it. What makes this great is I don't know how real it is and how not real it is. Right? Like, right. It could be real. Like, Roman could have always had a problem with CM Punk.
It's
and maybe
unreal.
Had a problem with him back, right? Like, this is more often than not, we're kind of clued in, right? And we kind of have an idea. Maybe he does hate Punk. Maybe he does. I have no idea. But the fact that I can ask those questions, that is what's going to make it fun. As a wrestling fan who is in it as deep as we are.
And honestly, it'll probably help to your point, Hood, about now spending 2.5 months. Roman's not going to be there every week. Like, we're only going to see him a few times. So, like, that will sort of help it. I guess you'll have Punk occupied by Finn, which this does sort of telegraph that there's a 0.0% chance Finn actually wins the title. But, you know, that'll help. We're not going to see it every week.
There's a Saturday Night's Main Event in here, right, soon? Is there not?
Maybe.
Because when are we getting Punk and Finn Balor?
No Elimination idea. Chamber.
Oh, Elimination Chamber in Chicago. Oh, I see. Mm-hmm. Because Finn had it in his home country, and now CM Punk will have it in Chicago.
Mm.
Okay. Right. Okay. Elimination Chamber. Got it. So in a few weeks.
Yeah.
It's too bad because, you know, I think there was, no matter if you think that Balor is a heel or a babyface, people are very impressed by Finn Balor. They forgot, like, this guy can go, and now he's going to lose twice to Punk. No shame, but just saying that if you thought that he'd be close to the world championship situation, he's the new McIntyre.
Right.
Yeah, and look, it's just, it's because you have to have, it's always awkward because now after, there's such a gap between the Royal Rumble and WrestleMania, something has to happen for Punk, especially when Roman's not around. Like, how many different ways can you do this? I'm sure they're probably going to do a thing with the Usos because the Usos have been close with Punk and those guys were brought up in that promo. So I'm guessing there's going to be some sort of back and forth there as well. Yeah. So I'm curious to see again, they're going to put on a hell of a match in Chicago. Hood, you're going to enjoy the hell out of it, but ultimately, yeah, there's no chance Finn goes over because we already know what's happening night two of Mania. And honestly, I don't know who goes over there. I don't know if it's Punk or Roman. And I could probably get, I'm probably going to convince myself of both 17 different times between now and Mania.
I feel like I lean Roman because that starts the path to Roman Rock and Saudi next year.
Rock's wrestling. You sure about this?
With all those dollars and with no Oscar knobs, yes.
You didn't have to give the side shot of the no Oscar nom.
That's what. If he would have gotten nominated, okay. He would be wrestling. Right. I'm just saying.
Okay. You know, Ava's sad, Rock sad. You didn't have to do that to that family.
That's why. If he's up for best actor in a few weeks, I don't think we see him in a ring. But now it's like, oh, this ain't working. Back to wrestling.
This guy right here with his Oscar noms.
Doesn't like Jay, taking shots at Ava and Rock. I think he's starting a feud with the entire family.
When movies flop, Dwayne comes back to wrestling. He knows what butters his bread.
Doesn't like Trick Williams. It's just it's amazing. If you have a little bit of flair, he doesn't like it. Doesn't like it. He likes the pussy guys.
Unless it's Ric Flair.
Yeah, that's right. That's it. Poor guy. But you know, just when we want to throw the WWE overboard and say, "Oh, we need youth movement. It moves too slow." Then they give you a little something with CM Punk and Roman. Just gave when you thought, you know what? This is not going in the right. Then they give you that and two guys and give you a great promo. Now you're back, you see?
Yeah, and look, I mean, we talked about the youth during the Royal Rumble. Like, you're not going to throw Obafemi, Trick Williams, Javon Evans. Like, you're not throwing those guys in the main event of WrestleMania 3 months after they've more or less debuted for your company, right? It takes time to build those guys up. As we've seen, because I even enjoyed Bron Breakker going ballistic to start the show, right? Like, that was fantastic. So they've got some young guys there. It's now just going to take them time. So I'm hoping that, well, next year, I guess we'll wait and see. My guess is they only do one night, especially after the crowd in Saudi for the Royal Rumble. I'm guessing it's going to be a one-night WrestleMania. Well, what do you want to know? But I'm hoping that somebody is at least close to a main event. One of those young guys is close to a main event by the time we get to Mania next year.
Yeah, next year. Because, I feel like they're all just sort of mid-card right now. Because Cody Drew main events night one?
Sure.
Or
the first match. One or the other.
I'm guessing that could be an opening match. Like, the way that they continue to build Liv, like Liv closing out night one with whoever she goes up against, whether it's Vakair. Again, I think Vakair makes the most sense at this point, just with all of her Judgment Day issues. But they love Stephanie Vakair. I would not be shocked if they made event night one.
Well, then starting the three count, Liv won the Women's Rumble. Who should she challenge at WrestleMania?
I think it's Vakair. Like, it's the only, like, her going and chain, like, doesn't make any sense for her to challenge Jade. There's no story there. Like, there's nothing there.
But what about what we threw out Saturday? What about Raquel, who did not win Monday?
Yeah, see, that's what I was hoping. I was hoping for Raquel.
How, How about you let Gabe introduce the question? No one asked you to get in there with that, Brian.
You're on it already.
It was a grand. Hey, I'll stand up for Brian here. All right, I'll stand up. It was a smooth transition.
I'll stand up for the format. That's what I'll stand up for. How about that? I'll stand up for the format. He's been doing that the last couple of weeks, just sliding in. All right, Shivani, let the man drive the show. Full on Dragon Twist. you get out of there, Brian.
The transition went from A to B.
All right. Well, that's fine.
We called the three count the top three stories in professional wrestling.
Now we didn't get that. Now it's true.
No one knows what's happening now.
Well, I think it's pretty obvious where Liv is going. You saw what happened. You know, it's not Jade. Because you know what? That's the match I don't want to see. I don't want to see Jade against Liv. I think Liv Vicaire, we just talked about it. I'd like to see that as the main event. I think that those two can get after it. If you really believe in the women's division, give them the opportunity to main event. It's only going to be an 8-match card on either side, right? Now, right. Day one and day two is only 8 matches, so let her have the main event for one of them.
Will Vicaire do enough, though, to make us care storyline-wise for that match?
Oh, you got a problem with Vicaire now.
Well, I mean, we've talked about it. Like, in terms of storytelling, there's nothing there right now. She's great in the ring.
What about her match against Raquel? Did you like it?
Yes, great in the ring.
But the story they're going to tell is more is teasing a breakup and the tension that's going to exist between Raquel. Because I'm sure with the way that Liv came out after she was told to stay in the back, she comes out. Ends up not really helping. Raquel loses the match, and then Liv immediately goes after Vicaire. Okay, to me, that's telegraphing that she's going to pick Vicaire. And, you know, maybe that upsets Raquel. Maybe Vicaire puts the title on the line at Elimination Chamber, inside the Elimination Chamber, and Raquel can win that. And you start teasing the breakup. I just feel like the tension that you can create with Liv and Raquel would be worth main eventing. Because, again, and even if it ends up being Vicaire, the story is going to be more teasing the breakup of the Judgment Day and the dissension that's there than anything like Stephanie Vicaire ends up being secondary to all that, which is unfortunate for her.
Can you believe the Devil's Kiss was a male, like a maneuver for years in wrestling? You know, Adrian Adonis did that, or Dino Bravo did that. It didn't have the same effect.
No,
to see the hairy ass of a Dino Bravo doing that, it wasn't the same. That was a thing that got it would be a transition move to something else.
Yeah.
But they did that, and just like I can't believe all this time now a woman's doing it and it's over. it's very strange.
But I do feel like it almost hurts her in terms of like who she is overall. Like just like we're just waiting for that, and you're waiting for Booker to go nuts about it or whoever's on commentary at the time. Like I think it's hurting her, and that's why like I'm not interested storyline wise. The Raquel part. She is night and day from even 6 months ago. And we're going to play back to Kevin Nash. And if you've already watched it, you know what he said about Raquel. And the two of them communicated. She has flipped a switch. Like, in terms of character, in terms of personality, calling herself Big Sexy. Like, that is someone that her and Liv with a couple months to tell a story would be main event worthy, in my opinion.
Because, yeah, if it's not about the breakup of the Judgment Day, what's the story between Liv and Vicaire?
You make one. Yeah, we got time to put it together for 2 weeks or 2 months rather. You got time. Mm-hmm. I think that the company likes Vicaire very much so. So
they do. Where, it's very obvious. They strapped a rocket to her back hood and they sent her to the top of the card. Brian doesn't want to hear it.
Yeah, he does that. I mean, they put a microphone in her hand with a broken English.
Yeah,
and when they don't have to, but because of her emotion, people like her. But there's levels to this with this, right? So. Io Sky is like at a different level with this. Broken English, but still just the hand gestures, the facials, and of course how great she is in the ring. So there's levels to this. Stephanie Vicaire, I think that she's getting there, and I think you can make something out of this, but I understand what you're saying from a story. You don't have a story yet. It's actually within the Judgment Day. I understand that. But somehow, some way, I think Vicaire and Liv could, if not start, can main event one of those nights. And Liv is going to win, I think.
Yeah, which is fine. I think all that works. And if they get the night one main event, that's awesome. It just feels like they're limited. And also, in terms of the Raw and SmackDown thing, like we talked about 10 minutes ago, now both your main stories are on Raw. Like, it's like, oh, yeah, that's the secondary show. Whatever happens there, they're going to be buried in the mid-card.
The Elimination Chamber will determine Jade's opponent, right?
I guess, or Gabe's idea, where Vicaire puts it on the line and Raquel wins it there.
Okay, we'll see.
The fantasy booking I've seen is Jade defends against babyface Tiffy.
And Tiffy wins? Gets her title back?
Sure.
Lukewarm.
Yeah, that's, again, and we were surprised we didn't see Bianca be right. One of those surprise entrants for the Rumble, as she continues to be out with a finger injury. So obviously something fairly serious must have happened during the recovery of that. Because again, like, that is, Jade, you could talk me into, you don't even have to tell me the story. You just sell me on the poster of Jade versus Bianca. And that's night one main event. Like, just Put that on a poster. You look at it and go, yeah, sold. Like, But again, that depends upon Bianca's health. Like, so I don't know if you can ultimately go that way. And maybe they're able to drag it out on SmackDown, right? Because as we mentioned, we are still a very long ways away from WrestleMania. So maybe they can do something in Elimination Chamber where they can tread water to see if Bianca can get healthy enough before WrestleMania.
Well, what I'm told, the Bianca injury is very, very severe. So severe, Montez Ford's been off TV for 6 months.
Okay.
So apparently,
what are you doing? You're taking shots at Montez? Come on, man. We used to love Montez on this show.
Yeah, the joke is that so devastating, it's gone through the family. They both can't be on TV, apparently. So I don't know why that's the case. I mean, the old lady's out, but you can put Montez Ford on my TV. Why do they both have to be out? Makes no sense.
Yeah, that's bad. And it's feeling like there's no one else really on SmackDown. Like, no one comes to mind. Like, oh, we can do this instead.
That's a hell of a thing to say with 3 hours of Phil.
Yeah.
You think it'd be somebody. It's got to be more than Kit Wilson.
Right. Who they can't even put in the Rumble.
Mm. Yeah. So I think what we've realized through these first two segments, WWE's got a SmackDown problem.
Uh-huh.
We could have said that for about 20 years, right? In and out sometimes. Very much so. And it shouldn't be. And it shouldn't be, you know?
Yeah.
Well, and you mentioned the men's title over there. Yeah, to me, that's the title that has always mattered, because the World Heavyweight Championship, the lineage is still relatively new for that. Like, the WWE Championship, like, that's the one that goes back to the beginning of the company. That's the one that's the through line for everything. The one that Hulk Hogan had for all those years, that The Rock, Stone Cold held up, that John Cena had, that was initially the spinny belt, right? Like, there's just so many, there's so much history behind that belt, but unfortunately, there's not a story behind that belt right now. Or at least one that Drew. You can get behind.
But we got Drew.
We got Drew.
Here's the thing about Drew. I trust Drew to make something out of whatever BS Road Dogg gives him. Like, he's one of the guys that I trust to make the best out of whatever situation he finds himself in.
But it's Cody again. It's just redundant.
Right? You beat Sami Zayn, and that was if you're going to say the worst match of the four on the Royal Rumble, it was still a very solid match on any given day. Mm-hmm. But he just went right through Sami, and it's like, okay, so what's next? And by the way, for us to be able to look at Drew McIntyre now as champion, I don't want the belt off of him because he's waited so long. He's went through so much BS to finally get there. And again, we're talking about him as a character, not as a person. We're talking about the character has gone through so much. What's he got? By the way, where's the promo of Drew on Friday saying, I finally come to Saudi Arabia and there's no fans. I prayed for this. I was in the pandemic and there was no fans, and now I go to Saudi and there's no fans.
I don't know what's going on with that.
It's like nothing but lights. My God. The lights have supplanted the fans in that country. What about me? What about Drew? I prayed for this.
What do we got at number two this week, Brian?
We talked about Saturday, our time at Potawatomi Casino. Joining us was a Hall of Famer, former WWE champion Kevin Nash. And this is our conversation with, I guess, the previous Big Sexy.
The original.
Yes.
Special GKW from Potawatomi. Excited for the special guest here for what's going to be an exciting Royal Rumble. The two-time Hall of Famer himself, Kevin Nash. Kevin, what's going on, man?
It's 10:30. Kind of early for a wrestling show, right?
I couldn't even imagine like putting on my gear right now, going out in the desert.
So let's talk about the Rumble. What are some of your fond memories of the event?
I mean, for me, I think that the one pay per view that made me was the '94 Rumble.
Yeah,
in Providence. When I, you know, eliminated all those guys, like seven in a row or whatever it was. But they did it so I was in the ring by myself for like a minute and a half in between each guy. So it was, you know, back in those days, it was so barbaric. You'd go back and there was a chalkboard. And you had no idea. So you get to the building, I go back there, and I look, and I think Diesel was seventh in. So this is, you know, Diesel enters. So I go, Diesel enter. So I look underneath it, and he goes, eliminated by Diesel. Eliminated by Diesel. Eliminated by Diesel. I said, fuck, I'm getting a push.
You keep seeing your name. You say, you know what? That's me.
Yeah. It's one of those things, too. If you're not going to win it, that's what you got to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? So my dream for tonight, or I should say today, it's weird that it's in the afternoon.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I still can't get – it's very difficult to get used to.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
You know, let alone it's all sports now. It's like NFL. Like, you know, I got to call one of my younger buddies, thank you, and ask him, like, dude, where's the football game on?
Right.
Yeah. It's on Prime. Oh, yeah. Yeah. But, you know – For this one, I look at it. And I said, from the women's standpoint, if I had to pick, I would do Rhea.
Okay.
Because I think Rhea is so far above. She might be their biggest star. Like even when they came back, I don't know what town they were in. I think maybe they're in Tulsa. Mm-hmm. And they started the show with Roman, Cody, and Punk. In a three-way, back and forth.
Yeah.
The crowd was dead. Nobody even responded. And I was just like, wow, this is a hard crowd. The first person to get a real pop was Rhea.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I said, and I've always thought she was like, you know, there's just something about her. She looks like she's the closest thing to an animation of Spider-Man.
Okay.
But she's female. Like the way she moves and she's lanky and, you know, she's got that look. I don't know. I just think she's money. So I have nothing against EO. It's great that they've shined her up with her, but I'm like, you know, there's a reason Rhea's picture's on the side of the truck. And I think it's time to shine her and go in the Mania and give her a nice little 6-month run.
In terms of the Rumble, the surprise is always a fun part. You've been on that end. What is that night like when you are a surprise entering the Rumble?
Well, you know, we were talking. I told him I was coming in, you know, early, but with dark hair too, right?
Right.
Yeah.
just so happened to go to Boston and dye my hair. But I knew that was going to be the last time. I ended up doing, I think, the 2014, I think, was my last Rumble. And but the thing was, this is the killer of all of it. So I go down there, and Sheamus and McIntyre are in the ring with me. So, you know, I've been doing this at that point, 20-something years. And the crowd's chanting Diesel, and they're pounding on me. You know, like, right. I mean, like it was a shoot. And I'm like, well, these guys are smart enough to, you know.
Yeah, to read the room.
Like they're going to say, come on, man. Like, they're like, you know, you got to be hearing this, right? I'm like, no, you're just going to. I said, that's when I said right there, I said, no. Nah. Because I was supposed to eliminate Ziggler.
Okay.
And I went over to him, and I like, you know, Dolph wasn't getting used.
Yeah.
So I said, I just looked at him, and he looked at me, and I went, like, no, man, I'm not going to eliminate you. Why? You know, eliminate when you want to. And but they wouldn't even let me fight up from the bottom. And I said, at that point, I said, you know what, fuck this, I'm done.
So. You know what's great, Kevin, is Raquel Rodriguez. you talk on your podcast and say, I want her to be able to wrestle to her size. You don't have to go a million miles an hour. Look how big you are. Use your size. And she didn't go to social media and say, fuck Kevin Nash. But you know what she did? She said, I'm going to get gear like Kevin, and I'm going to wrestle big. And from what you said, she's a different wrestler. How's that feel?
We talk. I mean, we DM each other on Instagram. Mm-hmm. And she actually, a couple weeks ago, she goes, would you be opposed to me calling myself Big Sexy? I said, I ain't using it.
Right.
Like, do whatever right. you want to do.
Yeah.
But, you know, I just told her, I just a couple of little things like, you have to stop yourself, you know, and that's what she does now. She moves and she, you know, the person moves and she puts her leg over the top. She always stops herself. And if you're going to take a bump, take it through the ropes to the floor on your feet so you're not flat backing for little people in the ring.
Yeah.
And it's just, I think that she went from the big person in the tag team to chasing the belt.
Yeah.
And she's going to be champion.
Yeah.
And there's just no way she's not going to be champion. So that all that is because you got to work different as a big. And there's nobody to teach her that there that's a female. But I'm watching her, and she's good on the mic. She can do everything. She's strong. She's big. I said, you got to work stronger, you know. And she listened.
Yeah.
Do you think some of that is also, I mean, the business is so different now. They're not doing as many house shows. Yeah, they do a holiday tour, did one recently over in Europe, but there's not a lot of those, you know, kind of house shows where you can work on a lot of this
stuff. There's not. And to me it's like, you know, Punk has worked 3 main events at the last 3 Raws. And, you know, Phil's like, I don't know, he's 47, 48 years old.
Yeah.
He's straight edge, so you know he's not on TRT. Mm-hmm. And he's coming from time zones, and he's putting in time. And I'm just like, I thought that him and AJ looked a little bit tired last week. You know, like finally that, because that was a schedule.
Yeah.
They definitely were on a schedule. So, but that was the beauty of our era was, if I was working with Undertaker on the house shows, I was working with Bret on TV. So nobody ever saw me and Taker touch
right.
until we had touched 30 times. Mm-hmm. So there was no, let me find your timing.
Yep.
Now these guys, you know, we never ever would go out in the ring and take a bump for free.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just, like, I remember when I came back, I said, we're going to walk through some shit. I said, I'm not walking through nothing. I'm good. We can call it out there. And, you know, these guys now, they've got it. I mean, the best you can. I remember that horrible, I guess it was my last match, was that ladder match with Triple H. And he was, like, in charge of everything. We didn't talk until, like, maybe 20 minutes before doors.
Wow.
And we walked out there, and we put, like, 4 or 5 spots together. And we had worked 100 times, but not in years. And, you know, I don't think we could have had that match in today's world because I don't think abortion's legal. So,
right. There's that.
Yeah. It was in Baltimore, though. It's a blue state. So.
For you watching the current product, how do you take in how different it is? We mentioned the house shows, the unreals of the world. You get in trouble for doing stuff off camera. Now they want to glorify the off camera stuff. How different is that?
Like I've always said, God, that click group, what a bunch of innovative son of a guns.
Yeah.
God, who would have ever thunk that's what the people wanted to see?
Yeah.
And now that's by far the best thing they do.
Yeah.
Because no matter how you it doesn't matter how much coverage you get or what they do with the individuals, you still want to really know the person. And I said on my podcast, I said, like, I didn't particularly care for Becky. You know, I didn't care for her because she did her job. You know, she was a heel, and she made me not like her. And I don't know if anybody's caught this beside me, but she kind of does a Trump.
Oh, yeah.
That's her social media, yes.
Yeah, she's kind of a Donald Trump figure where she has an excuse for everything. and double talks everything and backsteps everything. And when I saw The Unreal, which was the first episode with her and Seth and their child and everything, I was just like, and on top of that, like they make these, the girls get made up when they go to the ring, and like, I'm one of those guys, I'm a no makeup guy. Hmm. Yeah, I like the beach girls. And she was so much prettier, so much more attractive just in her everyday life.
Yeah.
And she was so sweet, and I was just like, that's what I wanted to see. I want to see who she is, you know? I never saw her in that first NXT match when she comes out looking like Poison Ivy. Right. Yeah. Doing an Irish gig.
Yeah.
So, you know, kudos. Good, and, you know, their production's, you know, second to none. So. Yeah.
As a big sports fan you are, you know, we're seeing this in Saudi Arabia, the Royal Rumble. They keep going out there. In our lifetime, we're going to see. We're talking about this last night at your birthday party. Like, we're going to get a Super Bowl in Saudi Arabia. The NBA is already connected to them. That's where the money is, Kevin. How does that make you feel? A guy, again, we've been seeing it in the United States, North America for a long time, but Saudi's got the juice.
Well, if somebody told me, you know, nothing against Toronto, but if I had to go to Toronto and play for the Raptors or go out and play with the Saudis, I'd probably take that Saudi cash and not pay the 50% tax.
Double tax, isn't it? Yeah, U.S. Yeah. And Canada?
I would route my money through Dubai where it's a no-tax zone.
Right. Right. That's what he's doing.
That's just me.
Yeah.
Call me crazy. If I'm in any kind of combat sports, I'm not doing anything besides in Dubai.
Yeah.
It's tax free.
That works out.
Well, it's funny, the Chappelle piece, right?
Right.
His
last
thing, and he's doing bits about it and jokes about it, but he was fine taking the money with all the other comedians, Bill Burr, those guys. Like, yeah, it still cashes. Yeah. I'm fine with it.
No, Chappelle's he's so brilliant.
Yeah.
I could go on forever for his mic drop at the end. I just went,
oh yeah,
like, wow, you really don't care if you get killed, do you?
No.
Does not mind.
So again, we're going to see a WrestleMania out there. It just kind of I think that's going to be even a bigger adjustment is a WrestleMania in the middle of the day. It's one thing for the Rumble or the other events, but especially as Mania continues to get built up.
I consider this like this. It's my second favorite, probably. So, I mean, I'm sure SummerSlam is considered their second pay per view.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't know. I think this is huge.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And the fact that they built that stadium, it's going to hold, like, what, 50,000, 60,000 people?
Built it in, like, 3 days.
Yeah.
No problem there.
It took longer to build the Ark. But that was with divine help. So.
I read. It's a big book I read that
in.
Yeah, large.
I've got the film strip. But I'm hoping that it gets down to a situation where all the Vision is in there together and Braun goes through them all.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Dumps them all, and I heard that Braun's won. He's
the, yeah, they might have accidentally spoiled that yesterday on SmackDown.
Yeah.
I think they said Braun. Yeah. So, but this is the thing that kills me. Adam Pearce touches Braun.
Uh-huh.
They show the clip. And I'm thinking, oh, wow, man, like in the world we're in right now, you touch somebody, like Pierce is going to be gone for a while.
Yeah.
Or do you turn Pierce? Do you say, hey, we'll drop the charges, but and then you got the guy running Raw, and Heyman's basically his puppet master.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, great side story.
Yeah.
End of the show. Come on out here. You guys are all in Rumble. Bye. I went, wow. That really got a lot of yardage out of that.
Patience, that's what they tell us. You need to have patience, that's what we keep being told.
I want him to be the puppet, or I want him in that Heenan singlet.
Nice.
I want Pierce in the old singlet, man. Get back out there.
Come in. I want him to look like Andre.
Right.
Strap singlet.
Yeah. Make him wear the wig.
Yeah.
Call everybody boss.
That's what I want.
But I'm hoping that... See, I've known Bronson, Rick Steiner, since, you know, he was born.
Right.
And him and my son played together when growing up and Halloween together. So I've known him. So he's Bronson to me. And I would love for him to be one and him go through everybody and just be out there, and they're waiting for 30, and 30 be Lesnar.
Ooh.
Let's go.
And then go like 4-5, and Lesnar put him over. Now you got that kid's made.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's how you make a star.
That's exactly how you make a star.
I mean, that's, you know, he's already there.
Yeah.
You know, he's already there, but not that just, that just. But then you look at it, and you look at how the WWE does things, and it's always about the graphic of 13-time world champion. Yep. Stone Cold is the only person to have won the Rumble 3 times. Mm-hmm. Cody has won it 2x. If he's your guy, do you have to sometimes anoint him with his 3rd? So it's Stone Cold and Cody. But I think people have it's like the Trump syndrome. It's exhaustion. I think a lot of people have the Cody, you know.
He was getting booed last night on TV. In Saudi.
Okay.
Dude, I got into wrestling so I wouldn't have to wear suit and tie.
Right.
Like, that was my goal, you know? So it's like, you sit across from, you know, like a guy like Cena that was in jeans and a T-shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Well,
maybe he's going to turn heel. The die's got to go, man.
Oh, yeah.
No, the guy's got to stay.
He's still got to. So more platinum?
That heat, that that hair has heat with me.
Still.
I mean, it's like it looks like a 68 G.I. Joe.
Right.
I mean, it looks like it's painted. It's crazy.
Well, Kev, I want to say thank you so much for the time. I hope you've enjoyed here, Potawatomi, Milwaukee, and I hope you enjoy the Rumble today.
I have the nicest suite. I'm in the, yeah. I'm in the bar. I just checked online. It was $6,000 a night for the suite. I'm
wow.
In. So.
It's a nice place.
Go to my Instagram. I do a walkthrough. But, yeah.
Kevin Nash, again, joining us this past weekend, part of the Royal Rumble festivities we had at Potawatomi Casino Hotel. Again, if you do have an opportunity, he was singing the praises of the fine city of Milwaukee and the room he was in over on his Instagram page. But he brought up, okay, maybe if he's your guy, maybe you put over Cody. And I was thinking of that when Roman went over, Brian, because maybe Roman's their guy.
Right. I do got those vibes as well. And even just some of the booking, like talking about the Raquel and the way she's booking herself as a big man and like things like that. Like the guy still got it. I know there's some knocks on his booking back in the day, and we've seen some of that stuff play out. But some of those things like, oh, yeah, that is a great point.
Yeah. And again, the fact that he's working with Raquel, fantastic.
Yeah.
And you have seen yep. the results of Raquel since then. All right, let's move on. What do we got at number 3?
In the world of AEW last night, a title eliminator match was a squash match. Brody King squashes MJF in the main event, setting up a world title match a week from Saturday on Valentine's Day in Australia. Grand Slam Australia. Was Brody crushing MJF the right decision?
I'm going with yes, because I'm watching this live last night, and I'm settling in. I'm like, all right, here we go. We've made it to the main event. It was another good Dynamite. A lot of good things happening. And I'm thinking, okay, here we go. And then it was over. Like, wait, what just happened? And the way they did it to build more heat with Hangman coming out and the way that MJF sold it as well, I think it was all... And again, because you need to have that champ. They had teased it, so if they didn't have it, like, you probably needed some championship match, so I don't know what you're going to build up in a week and a half before you're down in Australia. So this was a logical way to get there. It was a fun way to get there, and I was all for Brody squashing MJF last night.
I would agree with you. We've been seeing Brody King show up, and Brody King gets a championship match, and even before then didn't have take on top contenders. You know, there's a lot of standby matches and all that kind of thing, but it's going to be a fun matchup. I just remember last week where Brody's laughing at MJF's jokes about him. That's just, right? He's just laughing, just belly laughing. And he's just like, you know what? How about I face you in an eliminator match? And this takes no shine off MJF. I know people think, oh boy, you lost in what, less than 5 minutes against King. Now it's just part of a good storytelling, and MJF's going to get his comeuppance in Australia.
Yeah, and we talked about a lot of the AEW. They struggle booking big men. Wins and losses matter there. Brody getting a win matters. Like, do I think he's going to win the title next week on a tape show? No. but he's in a title match. He can now say he has a win over MJF. We look at him a little bit differently now as a single star, a guy that delivers every single time he's in the ring. I was happy to see it. Also, I agree with you, Gabe. I was shocked to see it, but it's awesome that it happened. I'm really happy for Brody King.
Yeah, and again, we talked about the long road to WrestleMania. We talked about at the beginning of the year after World's End. Oof.
Yeah.
Got some time now before we get to Revolution, huh? Okay, what are we going to do here? For? And they have done this pretty well, I think, in terms of setting it up. Now, we still have, it'll be about a month. It'll be 4 weeks after they get to Grand Slam in Australia between that and the next pay-per-view. But they've kind of spread it out pretty well. We're also going to find out who the number one contender is at Grand Slam, whether it's going to be Andrade, whether it's going to be Hangman. And then you've got a month to, okay, build the one-on-one matchup leading into the next pay-per-view. So they've kind of spaced this out pretty well. And again, like for me, again, the wins and losses thing certainly does matter, right? But when you're a heel, especially one like MJF, like losing in the way he did just doesn't matter.
Right.
Like it doesn't hit him that bad. Now, if it's this babyface that you're trying to build up and, oh man, or if it's like Gunther, right, over in WWE where you're building this guy up to be a monster, yeah, but he's already the champ. You explained it away. It wasn't necessarily clean, right? You get the pseudo interference coming from Hangman, but the win does look really good, and that's going to be a really fun match when we get to see the whole thing in a week and a half when they do it down in Australia. I thought it was executed for as much grief as we give AEW sometimes. I feel like this storyline and this MJF title run, like I'm somehow already more into this, and he was champ for a year last time he was the champ, and I'm more into this championship run than I was at any point the last time he had it.
Yeah, and this time between pay-per-views has given them the opportunity to make more main eventers. Brody now has a win over the world champion. We look at him differently. Andrade has beaten Swerve and Kenny in back-to-back weeks. We're going to look at him differently. Hangman and Swerve continue to be Hangman and Swerve and be elevated. They are bolstering that main event scene, and that's because of their storytelling.
Yeah, and Swerve seems like he's getting deeper and deeper into the heel side.
Yeah, I agree.
Totally understand based on what we saw last night on Dynamite. Well, by the way, as an aside, talking about Australia. So last year, AEW tried to get into a stadium.
Right.
And realized they didn't have enough tickets to sell, so they went to a small arena. This time around, what I understand, AEW is not airing in Australia, but they're having this show. And I don't know what the latest is on WrestleTix for this, yeah, Brian, something along the lines. Last time I saw it was like 4,000 tickets. And again, you know, we don't necessarily talk about ratings around here, but butts and seats does matter. If you're going to go overseas, you want to be able to have like a big showing. And so no TV kind of sucks when you're having a show in Australia. So that's a tough one.
But selling, I'll tell you what, not being on TV and selling 4,000 ticks, I'm impressed.
That's the thing. So last update was in November. There's 7,700 tickets. They've sold 4,800, and that was 3 months ago.
That's not good, Gabe. And that's good for Austin, Texas. It's not good for taking a whole crew 26 hours away from where you live and 10,000 people. That's not good.
No, but again, not having the ability to like be on TV and advertise the show, the place you're going. Again, I think the argument is maybe you shouldn't go to that place if you don't have TV there. That would be the argument. But again, if you're selling nearly 5,000 tickets and you're not on TV there, that's not bad.
My one gripe is if we're going to go over there in a different time zone, give it to us earlier in the day. Let us watch it live on Max.
When I say 45, but what do you have, 4,800 tickets or whatever it is?
Yeah, 77.
Distribute it.
Oh yeah, yeah. Uh huh. Oh, Brian. Brian is very familiar with the distributed. I've seen Brian do some distributing himself when I went to a Marlins game with him years ago.
Just helping out David Sampson in the script.
He had a stack of tickets, Hood. It was like me, him, and one other person. And the woman just kept scanning every ticket he gave her. Scanned like 50 tickets.
It says tickets, not butts and seats. There's a difference.
It's Samson saying, Selig doesn't care. Just take it. That's what Samson did. But that's not good. I mean, look, you have some Australian talent there, and you wish to have a bigger, you know, bigger house. But the last thing you want to do is travel, and then it's a negative.
Like, but they're treating this like a pay-per-view. What are we, three title matches? Is the hair versus hair, I think, is also on that
hair
show.
Hair versus hair, yep.
Yeah.
What, which, no?
This is all on Grand Slam Australia, yes. World title, women's tag titles, continental, and then the tag team hair match.
What's that match?
It is Orange and Tony versus Yuta and Marina, and whoever loses the match has to shave their head.
Whoever gets pinned has to shave their head. Which they did a fun thing last night where Tony and Orange took on local talent, one of which who was bald, and Orange, as he went to like do a move, like grabbed his head and then like, oh, and then started grabbing at his head. Like, oh, I don't want this. Like, I don't want this to happen to me.
And Tony cut a promo. She is very worried if she has to shave her head that she will look like a penis. So a lot of concern there.
Somehow
didn't even try to get clever and do innuendo. Nope, just came out and said it.
Somehow I still think she'd look good.
Yeah, that is fair. Yeah.
Somehow, some way. Yeah, so who goes over, by the way? Who's gonna is that clearly Yuta?
Yeah.
Oh, Yuta's, yeah. Yeah, I think it's pretty obvious that Yuta's getting shaved.
Yeah.
It's AEW. Anything could happen. It could be Tony.
Yeah, I mean, if anyone would do it, it would be her. Like,
yeah, I was about to say that much. Would you be shocked if after the match she lost and we found out that she went to Tony Khan and said, hey, I'll take the pin? I don't think anybody would be shocked.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
I'm still confused about what to do with my hands when it comes to the Death Riders. Am I cheering or am I doing thumbs down? Because Wheeler Yuta is still part of the Death Riders. I'm supposed to cheer that guy because I'm not.
Taking on the Don Callis family last night. Like, there.
What am I
no supposed- answer.
Yeah. I don't know what to do.
Yeah. Well, and so it's funny because I was thinking about this the other day too. Like, true heels are hard to find right now in professional wrestling because there's heels that people want to cheer, like Dominic Mysterio. Yep. Like, Dirty Dom's supposed to be a heel. People want to cheer him. So he ends up kind of getting some of those cheers, right? And finding, like, heels that are true heels. Because Punk versus Roman, there's no heel there, right? You got two guys that people want to cheer, but you're able to tell the story because Roman said the hate word right there. When you're looking over in, you know, MJF, yeah, he's a true heel. But people also kind of want to cheer for MJF. Right? It's just, it's hard to find in pro wrestling in 2026, like, guys that are supposed to be heels that get those true heel reactions.
Yeah, no argument there. I mean, it's MJF, it's Dom, Drew right now, but I feel like in 2 months it might be Cody, but Drew's sort of there right now.
The real heel is Wheeler, Yuta, and Don Callis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no...
That's the other thing with, I mean, even Andrade, he's a part of the Don Callis family, supposed to be heel, but people were kind of cheering him last night. He had his own little cheering section that he celebrated with after the match. Like,
you know, though, you say it that way, Hood, like, there's your solution. Andrade turns on Death Riders, joins Don Callis. Now it's clear the Death Riders are the baby faces and the Don Callis family are the mega heels.
That's one way to do it. I just don't know how sonically that happens, where a group tried to hide the world title for months. They held it hostage. And now they're guys.
And then also the weird part, like, we're in that
never repented.
Right. We're in the in-between, and last night they run a Ospreay vignette, and it shows Moxley basically breaking his neck. It was like, hey, wait a minute. Don't we hate that guy? Or do we like that guy now? I'm confused. Yeah.
And just listen. It's what Gabe was going to say. Two different Americas there. WWE does their thing. AEW does their thing. You know?
Yep.
What do we have in news and notes this week, Brian?
All right. A video was posted on social media showing Ricochet versus AJ Styles in the WWE, which Ricochet commented on saying, quote, "That's not me. That was a watered down, different universe version of me. Two completely different people." He also added that his 5-year run with the WWE made him fall out of love with professional wrestling.
Well, I mean, I get it, right? Because he was asked, we've seen people have success and failures in both places, right? Like FTR being asked to do the dumb comedy stuff that they were asked to do toward their end of WWE. Same thing with Dean Ambrose / Jon Moxley, by the way. And then they go on to AEW and thrive. And I think that's what we're seeing. Ricochet just has a little bit more freedom over in AEW. But we've also seen people go over to the other side and have a lot more success in WWE once they have a little bit of that freedom. I'm expecting Royce Keyes formerly known as Powerhouse Hobbs, to have a pretty good run. I'm assuming he shows up tomorrow night on SmackDown, since we did not see him on Monday night. But, like, again, it kind of goes both ways where things are just circling for you and you can't figure out why. And then you go to a new place and they kind of give you this push and this new life. I can understand why Ricochet bounced back the way that he did.
Did you say, Brian, that he felt WWE ruined his legacy? Is that what you wrote?
He added that also. Yes, it hurt his wrestling legacy.
Okay. All right. Let me just get to that part of it. That's not true.
No.
What is the legacy of Ricochet outside of PWG and Indies? Honestly, got like legacy? Now, that's a really difficult thing for him to say, because as much as we like Ricochet, especially as a heel, that's not one of the tippy top guys that you talk legacy about. That ain't Shawn Michaels. All right. So I don't know what he meant by legacy. If he fell out of love with wrestling because he couldn't do what he wanted to do in WWE, WWE is different than everywhere else in the world as far as wrestling. Different from New Japan, different from AEW, everywhere else. So legacy, I think, is a step too far. I don't take Ricochet very seriously, especially in social media. Maybe he was doing that just to get clicks or attention. But when he talks legacy, it's like, you don't have a legacy, really.
Well, sort of dive into that word, though. If tomorrow Ricochet says, I'm done with pro wrestling, like, what do you remember him as?
Indie legend.
Yeah. Okay. So, which I think is fair, and I think that was sort of his point, where it's like that WWE version of him was not that. Like, he was a hot free agent, and then he got WWE-ized.
Well, they're just not going to let you just flip all over the floor, all over the place in WWE, like you do in AEW everywhere else. Like, he'd be in the modern era, Gabe, he's a indie guy, as a top indie. That's who he is.
Yeah, you've got to realize that what they're going, like, you have to have some foresight of what they're going to let you do. Because again, WWE has years, whether it's Vince, whether it's Hunter, like, they've got years of, hey, this is what we are.
Right.
Yeah.
So you got to have a little bit of that self-awareness.
They don't want you to get hurt also. They don't want you just like, you know, diving all over the place and then you're getting hurt. I mean, it happens in wrestling anyway on the most, you know, small things. But I mean, what did he expect? You think he's going to walk in as a top guy? From PWG and from the indies, like he was a guy in WWE, and I can understand his frustration. He's more wide open and has more freedom to do whatever. He's having his best character work in wrestling. Remember, WWE said, "Yeah, you could work, but your promos suck." Remember that we talked about. And now he's a butterfly. He's great as a heel. So you know, he's just. It's different rules for different places you work.
Cody Rhodes on his What Do You Want to Talk About podcast says he suggested to top brass they should run house shows one weekend a month. He says the chance for the team to feel like they actually work together. He said you don't get that sense only working a few hours a week. And it also they could break the fourth wall a little bit.
I mean, I guess I don't care about the fourth wall stuff. I wanted to ask that question. You heard it earlier with Kevin Nash about the house shows. And I just found that interesting, right? Like, again, I don't think you need to be on the – I like this idea by Cody because it's kind of that happy medium. You don't need to be on the road and being away from your family 300 days a year. Like, we don't need to do that. But getting a little more work in, like, especially if you want to, you've got some of these big matches coming up, you've got some big events coming up, and you kind of want to get some work in with the people you may be working with in those events. I don't think that's a bad thing, and especially now that we're seeing some younger talent in WWE, like getting them a little bit more work so it doesn't take them as long to kind of catch up in ring. Like Braun Breaker, like you were disappointed, Brian, with that main event match that he had with CM Punk to kick off the year on Netflix. Like if they were doing that match a little bit in that run up to that, I've got a feeling that match would have gone differently.
Completely agree.
I agree with Cody, probably more than just a week. I think NXT does it right. They do have, in that coconut circuit right there in Florida, right? They do have house shows. So I think that's it. I honestly, it's a longer topic, but I'll be brief, guys. I really believe it's tougher now for the wrestler than it was even in the territory days. Because even though you're away from your family 300 days a year, you are toughing it out on the road. And you're getting better, yes. But the idea that you have one shot, in AEW, one shot every 3 weeks, sometimes one shot every couple of weeks, one shot a month, and you got to get it right. You got to get all the moves right. I think it's actually more pressure doing that than getting the kinks out on the road, and then we get on TV, it's better. I think they have it tougher now to get it right than even back in the day.
Yep. A friend of show, Chelsea Green, finally here, news and notes. She's in the headlines. Michael Hayes on season two of Unreal says that Chelsea Green only needs 30 seconds to do the work that some need 30 minutes to accomplish. She's not to be the top girl. Quote, she's meant to elevate all those girls to be in that top position, to be a main eventer. Chelsea was asked about it on SiriusXM's Reality Check, responded saying, it sucks to hear something like that. Added that she is self-aware and knows her place on the totem pole, but it's aggravating to hear that she does, in fact, have a ceiling.
Yeah, that sucks. You can't say that out loud. I can't, even though it's unreal and you want to do all this BS, whatever, like, you can't, that's like a general manager stepping up to a podium and just ripping his player. Like, yeah, he's a nice player. We're never going to pay him all that much, but, you know, he's a nice player. Like, and we are huge Chelsea Green fans. And look, again, I think everybody understands. She said she's self-aware. She knows what her spot on the card is. But Miz got two, you know, world championship runs. Like, one, like, a decade after he main evented WrestleMania. Just kind of a, hey, this is, you've earned this, Miz. Like, you get to walk around with this for a few weeks, because I would love for that to be able to help. If the circumstances align, I would love for that to happen with Chelsea, because she has been a phenomenal worker. She does the, and again, the reason why she does, because she was given a little bit at first, right? She's getting these little, so then she gets herself over and you're like, oh yeah, we could just give her 30 seconds, do whatever. She'll figure it out. Like, or you could treat her right and maybe she has a higher ceiling than that.
See, Michael Hayes is right, but you never say that out loud.
No.
She pretty much said, I just want TV time. It doesn't matter. But from Chelsea's standpoint, she's thinking, well, while I'm in WWE, am I only going to be a comedy character? So you don't see me as the world champion and carrying a matchup against Vicaire or right. Charlotte or someone like that. So you don't see me that way. Michael shouldn't have said that out loud. Now, see, here's the thing. This might be on Unreal, but I don't think so. I think that's a shoot, brother. I think that's a shoot. And because he feels that way and how the office feels that way, that should never be out there. Chelsea has a right to be pissed at that. I don't think that's one of those things, those wrestling things that they do. I think that's how the office or people in the office feel about Chelsea. You don't say that out loud.
Yeah, and she said that. She's like, you always had that notion in your head, like, all right, maybe this is my ceiling. But to hear someone who is a pretty prominent role, like she said, confirming on national television, it sucks to hear. I will say, we hate on Unreal. It'll be a positive if this does result in Chelsea becoming champion.
So we got to do the write-in campaign like R-Truth?
Yes.
That we got to do?
And then we get told we're idiots and this was intentional all along. But if Chelsea's the world champion, it's fine.
Oh, she was always ready for the title. Because this we do what we do.
We planted those seeds.
We do what we do. Get out of here.
All right, boys, what'd you have for your matches of the week?
Well, that's the best Raquel Rodriguez match we've ever seen.
Uh-huh.
That was really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, great Philadelphia street fight. Ciampa versus Briscoe, TNT title from Collision was fantastic. Shocker, right? Uh-huh. He let Tommaso Ciampa wrestle.
I watched it.
Well, have you seen his first title defense coming up on Saturday nights?
Yeah,
triple threat.
Uh-huh. Against Roderick Strong and Cesaro. I'm blanking on his name.
Not Cesaro.
Why am I blanking? You know, the guy that was Cesaro.
The Swiss assassin.
Yeah, yeah, there we go.
Yes. By the way, just talk about being thrown into the fire. You just got to the company.
Yeah.
Here's two tough guys that you got to take on. Good luck. Holy smokes. No, I got off the road in Milwaukee, went right to the TV, put on Collision. It was not the main event.
No.
No.
It was top of – it was second quarter, hour two.
Yeah. Weird spot for it.
How's that not the main event? What the hell happened there? But here, by the way, out of that, and this is the difference between AEW and WWE, right? Ciampa wins the championship, and there's his daughter, Willow. He's a baby face.
Yeah.
Oh, Psycho Killer's a baby face. Oh, great. Great. Psycho Killer only in the ring, but not when his daughter Willow's out there. So I wanted the guy from NXT Black and Gold, and I got Dax. I got Dax the Axe.
That is fair.
The music, though, is sick.
Okay.
His entrance is fantastic.
Can I get the heel? Can I get the heel that beat the babyface Mark Briscoe? Can I get that? No.
No. I do. I haven't in a while had any indie matches, so I got a couple for you from GCW this past weekend. It's been a while.
When did you have time to watch it. GCW?
I watched it back last night, a couple matches. My guy, PWH, Paul Walter Hauser, taking on Mad Dog Conley, and I only like this match to the stipulation. It was a lumberjack match, but it was a lumberjack strap match. And what that means is that every lumberjack had a strap that they took to the talent when they went outside.
It's packing up.
What? You're not into a lumberjack strap match, Hood? All right, can I interest you? You're Mr. Tag Team main event, Jet Speed versus Joey Janela and Megan Bain. Nope. All right. Great match.
Wrap this up, Gabe.
Kenny versus Andrade. Kenny versus Andrade. I want to give that a shout out from last night too. That was fantastic.
That was good too.
Yeah, it was.
You give us Joey Janela, and that was good too.
Janela and Megan. Janela says versus Jet Speed. When have we seen that before?
You can check out all the great work we do on our YouTube page, youtube.com/@goodkarmawrestling. Again, a lot of stuff that we have from the Rumble, live from Pottawatomie. Big shout out to Pottawatomie. You can go back, look back at the interview we did with Kevin Nash, the OG Big Sexy. Now we've got a second Big Sexy. We're on the road to WrestleMania, boys. It is official. And you know we're going to talk about it all next week, right here on GKW.
Joey Janela.